continue our series called Your Love is a Song. As we do so, we find ourselves in Psalm 22 today. So I'll invite you to stand as we read God's Word together. Psalm 22, I'll be reading from the NIV. For the director of music, to the tune of the Doe of the Morning, a psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out day by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned on the praises of Israel. You are the one Israel praises, and in you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there's no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions that tear their prey open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. And this is God's word. You can be seated. So there are those notes in the margin that have made it into our Bibles. to the tune of. So we know that this poem was a song written to a familiar contemporary tune, a song long remembered by God's people. It's a love song written to God, God who seems to have turned away from his people. Music is a gift for us, and it can find a rhythm with our longings. It can strike a chord with our heart's deepest desires. And even though everyone isn't skilled at singing, almost everyone at least hums a tune every now and then, right? You're careful if others aren't around, perhaps. Some of us a little more skilled and make singing a regular part of our lives. It's part of how we make sense of our lives. So that's why I can enjoy all kinds of music, new and old. I like traditional hymns because they remind me of God's faithful actions in the past. And I like newer songs because they remind me that my faith has to keep growing and moving forward today. I have to understand how my faith helps me make sense of what God is doing now, rather than reject everything new and miss what God is doing now. And then that's what even older songs were trying to do. They were trying to help people make sense of a particular moment in time. So music helps us honor the past and experience the present. So there's lots of different kinds of music. Some songs are upbeat and fast and they awaken us. Some songs are slow and peaceful and invite reflection. Some songs are sad, and we don't always want to listen to those types of songs, and other times we really, really do. Well, this song, Psalm 22, it is an epic song because it touches on almost all of these. It's almost every type of song rolled into one. It's beautiful. And it's got some famous lyrics. Could we say it that way? You may recognize the first line of this song. My God, why have you forsaken me? Let's say that together. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why write such words down? Well, the Psalms are first of all honest. Amen? Therefore, our prayers and our songs must be honest as well. The problem with some church music is that it's idealized to the point of being cheesy, all right? God's people have left us clues down through the ages about how to write great songs, how to pray great prayers. These aren't all polished and perfect. These songs are messy. These prayers are a little messed up in places, and that's what makes them so awesome. But before you decide that these lyrics are scandalous, remember where it is that you've heard them before. Matthew 27 and verse 46. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was, of course, hanging on the cross when he said these words. Jesus was dying for our sins. Jesus was suffering beyond imagination when he said these words. But even in that moment, Jesus was singing a hit song. With his final breaths, he was praying to the Father. To the casual observer, it just sounds like a desperate dying man giving up. But I wonder if something more was going on when Jesus said these words. Well, hold that thought. Let's get back to the honesty part. Honesty in the moments of difficulty and grief in our life means getting it all out. Sometimes as Christians, we may give the impression that having faith means having it all together, knowing exactly what time it is and how we should be feeling, having nothing but positive and nice things to say all the time, not having any fears, not having any doubts or anything to overcome. But nothing could be further from the truth. Biblical faith can admit to being broken. And in fact, it must admit to that, or it's not authentic. It's as if the psalmist is saying, Lord, I'm praying, I'm crying out, but I'm getting the silent treatment from you. Lord, I'm so upset, I can't sleep at night. Where are you? Lord, now I've heard the stories. I know you've helped out other people. God's people all throughout history cried out to you and you delivered them. They weren't disappointed, so why not me? My so-called friends make fun of me. People look at me and shake their heads, Lord. They judge me before they even know the score. That's the kinds of stuff that the psalmist is getting down with pen in hand. Ever been there? Ever been at that place of feeling rejected, feeling hopeless and surrounded? The psalmist has. And evidently, Jesus has too. The psalmist goes on. I'm surrounded by beasts, he says. They're about to tear me apart. My body is giving out and everything hurts and I just can't go on. My heart is growing weak, Lord. My strength is gone. Might as well plan my funeral, Lord. It looks like you've as good as buried me. Well, those aren't exactly shiny, happy church words, are they? There's no power of positive thinking going on in Psalm 22. It's the power of being honest before God. I want to say that again. It's the power of being honest before God. The power of pouring out your heart to the Lord, even when it feels like you're being poured out like water. As long as we pretend, we never get to what is real. So whenever our hearts grieve a loss, we can pretend someone else is the cause, or we can be honest about how it feels and begin to move forward. Well, there is a key word that is found in this passage. When the psalmist is talking about the people of God in days gone by, there was this special word that was used more than once. And it's referred to again in verse 5. To you, let's read this together. To you they cried out and were saved. Let's try that again. No, we're not reading together. Right? To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. In you they trusted. We can print it on the money, in God we trust. We can plaster it on our license plates. In God we trust. But it doesn't really mean much until life puts us to the test and we can still say it. Amen? As we get older or we face danger, we have to deal with our mortality. Nothing like facing the reality of death can refocus us. Amen? Many people have experienced this in life and even talked and shared about it. Steve Jobs was a person who shared about it. He said that death was a gift that helps us to focus on life. And you know what? I think he didn't get that on his own. That's found in the scriptures again and again, and especially in the Psalms. Psalm 90, verse 12. Let's read this together. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. If you think you're never going to face the end and you just go on like there's no tomorrow, you may make a mess of your life. But if you number your days, you realize every day is a gift that you have, and that you need to make the most of it, you will probably make better decisions. You might gain a heart of wisdom. Psalm 39, verse 4 says, "Show me, Lord, life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You've made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure." Right? You may feel like you're hanging by a thread and look at someone else and think, "Oh man, their life is so good," but you really have no idea. And their life might end tomorrow as their shiny sports car goes past you on the road and they might go headlong into a lamppost and that's it. So being a finite being reminds us to make every day count. But it also reminds us to prepare to meet our Maker. These are good things. These are not things to fear or to run away from. These are things to face. There's a whole line of pharmaceuticals over at Walgreens that you could try to take to medicate the pain of your life. But you could also choose to face it in the power of biblical faith. There is an opportunity for "In God We Trust" to be more than a slogan. It can be a beacon that lights up even the valley of the shadow of death. So faith is where the journey with God begins. That first time we become aware of God's presence, aware of the sin in our lives, and we begin to move toward God, hoping for forgiveness and redemption. That's where it all begins, and it's beautiful and positive and wonderful. But when faith means only belief in ideas, things stay pretty shallow. At the deep end of the pool are waters that can truly hold you up. At that end of things, faith becomes trust. Right? I'm going to say that again. Faith becomes trust. As we journey through the challenging terrain of life, we learn that even death won't stop our faith. They trusted you and were not put to shame. They trusted you, Lord, by your grace, with your help. They trusted you and they ignored the scorn of men. They trusted you. Can I trust you, Lord? In verse 19 of Psalm 22, the psalmist continues, "But you, Lord, be not far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me." Something begins to turn. The psalmist has cried out and been honest and painted a pretty bleak picture. But because he was crying out to God and not just gossiping about God to others, the conversation continues. Sometimes we may need to get things off our chest with God, but we should keep going. We shouldn't just stop with the frustration. We should go on to what we know to be true. Now the psalmist is finding some faith again, being reminded of the value of trust, asking again for God's help in the midst of the pain. And that's the crucial pivot point in this psalm. Then he moves on to much better things in verse 22. Let's read this together. "I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help." Suddenly, faith comes shining through again. This time, tested, a little stronger, a little deeper. This time, mature. Friends, I think this is a model for us as we walk through the darkest days. We can be honest with God, but we can also trust God. Can I say that again? We can and should be honest with God about our feelings, our doubts, our fears, but also we can remember to trust God despite our fears. Once we get some things out, we should keep going and find our way back to praise and thanks again. When bad things come, dark things that cause us to weep and cry and long for simpler times, don't let your life become just a curse. In time, move beyond the mourning and into dancing once again. Remember Jesus hanging there on the cross and quoting this psalm? Check this out in verses 16 through 18. If you didn't catch it the first time, think about what it says happened in the Gospels. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments. Wow. That's all I can say is wow. That's literally what happened to Jesus while he was hanging on the cross. Pierced his hands and his feet with nails. Divided his clothing and cast lots for his special garment. You can look it up in the Gospels. Jesus was suffering. Jesus was crying out. But Jesus did know the score. He knew what was really happening. Jesus knew it was worth it to go through the suffering to get to the salvation. It wasn't just for him that he was hanging there. It was for all the families of the earth, just like God had promised to Abram. In verse 30, it picks up, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They'll proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. And when he had done it, he said, it is finished. Amen. So yes, the Lord Jesus has done it. He saved the world. Now it's possible for anyone to come to faith. He also made it through the suffering, and he was a model for us. By beginning in honesty and getting to deep trust, and then declaring boldly the faithfulness and future victory of God. In Colossians 1:24, Paul writes this to the church. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. Paul was criticized all the time for problems with his physical body and for the suffering that he was going through. But he knew that this suffering was redemptive, and he was fighting off many things on behalf of others so that they could rejoice in the Lord. And he writes again of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He's writing about the God who comforts us in all our troubles. Let's read this one together. So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. Amen? So we are not alone in our suffering. Jesus has been there. And Jesus is with us now. We share in his sufferings at times, and we discover the depth of his mercy and his tender loving kindness. We discover his covenant faithfulness. And now we can look forward to being a comfort to others once we are delivered. And so there's so much purpose that's found even in our sufferings. Redemption, healing, hope, even a sense of purpose and mission. So there's that word, trust. It comes down to that word, trust. Begin with honesty, but keep going so you get to the good stuff. You can trust God this morning. If we ever doubted it, just look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He was pointing us to this psalm, written many generations before his life on earth. It predicted both his suffering and his deliverance. Amen? And in many ways, it was his song. Have you learned that tune? I can't promise you that you won't suffer. You may. Faith is no shield from suffering, and suffering is no respecter of persons. I can't promise that you won't die unless the Lord returns, and wouldn't that be great? Amen? But I'm here to say that even death is not the end. Amen? So keep on living in trust. Amen? In faith, in our living Lord. Would you bow your heads this morning? Father, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to live and breathe and enjoy this amazing planet. We have an opportunity to love and to work and to experience loss and even to suffer. To experience everything of what it means to be human, just as Jesus did. And Lord, every part of it, the good and the bad, is an opportunity to learn and to grow and to learn more what it means to trust and walk with you, to learn more what it means to be part of the community of faith, to be a part of those who can testify that your grace is sufficient. Those who can say, yes, I have helped to fill up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ, whatever that might mean. I know I have suffered in the body, but I know that I will see the glory of my Redeemer. I know that I will celebrate forever the glory of his great victory. And as he redeemed all suffering, he'll redeem it in my life. This morning, I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're very young and you've suffered very little and this just seems almost bizarre. Well, I thank God that your life hasn't been that hard yet. And I know that you can trust God whatever's coming in your life ahead. Just store this one away. This morning, if you've been through pain, then get in touch again with the faith that delivered you through it. And resolve again to let your suffering mean something more than aches and pains. Let it mean the redemption of our Lord and Savior being worked out more fully in our lives. And let us be an encouragement to those who need it. Father, if there's any of us here this morning who are right locked in the battle right now, it feels like life and death, and there's so many things weighing on our minds and our hearts, or we're feeling surrounded, we're feeling neglected, we're feeling abandoned by others. Lord, for those of us locked in the battle right now, we just lift each other up right now, Lord, and we pray for us to get beyond the pain, to get to the place where we begin to understand how you are a healing presence in the midst of our suffering, how we can trust you even with this, and how it can lead us to a better and deeper day in the journey of faith. I pray especially for those who are suffering this morning and ask that you, as the God of all comfort, would move in close. Surround them with your arms of love and let them know and feel your nearness this morning. For you are for us and you are with us, Emmanuel. This morning, God's talking to you. You're locked in that struggle, but you feel a bit of encouragement this morning, and you're ready, like the psalmist, to reach out in faith for how God's going to see you through. If that's you, would you just acknowledge it this morning and lift up your hand? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Heavenly Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon these who are seeking and acknowledging your helping grace right now. Strengthen them in the inner person and renew them day by day. Even as our outer bodies seem to be wasting away, Lord, we are renewed. And the life we have in you is a life that none can take from us. If you're here this morning and you realize that your faith needs to become trust and it's not there yet, and you want me to pray for you, would you lift up your hand as well? And I'll keep you in prayer in days ahead that you can move to a deeper place. Thank you. Thank you. Well, Father, thank you for these precious opportunities to move toward you and for the promise that faith offers us. And I pray that everyone here would know that peace that comes from trusting ourselves to you. Thank you in Jesus. We have such a perfect example. And as he is alive in us, may we enjoy and celebrate forever your sustaining, renewing, life-giving grace. And it's in Jesus' powerful name that we pray together. And everyone said, God is good. God loves you. God is for you. Amen? Hold on to that today. And hold on to it for someone else today, too. Amen? Let's stand together. I pray that our faithful God will fill you with strength and hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a great week.